Morning.
It is so good to be with you today. Thank you for the invitation.
Don't zoom in.
Thank you, Jen, for the collaboration. It was wonderful developing this service together. I mean, Jen did most of it based on her imagined message, I guess. We'll see how God works through me today. And the trip was wonderful down from Edmonton, but my goodness, I got thrown into the bowels of Calgary and I still found you. Praise the Lord. At our Canada-wide gathering in Kitchener-Waterloo just a couple months ago, we concluded our time together singing Mountain of God. Do you sing that here? Do you sing Mountain of God? Yeah. With the refrain, come, come as you are, oh, come from near and far. This was ringing in our head. When Kielbasa from the Ethiopian Mennonite conference called Mesereto Christos was invited to have the last word, he echoed and affirmed this refrain. What a beautiful and liberating invitation to all of us. But in the context of his warm invitation for all of us to consider attending the Mennonite World Conference to be hosted by his country and culture, Ethiopia, in 2028, he added a longing that we come as we are and we be ready to be changed. In other words, come ready to be forever changed by the experience of interacting with the Ethiopian people and their ways of being. In that moment, Kielbasa encapsulated for me the tension interculturalism offers us, the tension of longing to be who we are in our settledness and peculiarities of personality, identity and culture, and the challenge to keep growing in faith through being changed or unsettled. We must do the work of having a strong identity rooted in our history and our cultural ways that sustain us. And I'll just say, I'm intrigued by your little stack of hymnals there. Sing and rejoice, that goes way back. Tells me a lot about your identity. You are rooted here. And I also believe that our liberation is often tied up in having the courage to be unsettled, to be changed. We must at the same time know who we are and remember that the Holy Spirit is at work inviting us into the newness of life, into situations to grow and deepen our connection to God and to each other. This is sacred work, and our scriptures can help us. So let's look at a few principles that emerge from biblical perspectives and stories that help us live into this invitation. In my last 3 years of being pastor, which was a complete surprise, I was called. I never thought, 5 years ago, I never would have said I'm going to be pastor someday. So it was a calling where I'm invited to develop sermons a lot more frequently. I have come to realize how many arc story themes there are to help us paint the picture of the great rescue project inherent in God's work with us. God's word. One such arc is salvation history. Salvation history is God liberating and rescuing us from ourselves, our human condition, inviting us to turn back and to live in the light of God's mercy and love. Another is the arc of God's hospitality, which lives in covenant that reminds us to love God and to love neighbor in fact, all of creation. Where welcome and care and healing all intersect for the good of humans, for the good of our animal friends, for the good of the land, for the health of all creation. There are likely many more arcs that Caleb can name given his years of sermon writing. But today we'll focus on a third arc, the arc of unity and diversity, of our tendency to fear the unknown, and of God's message of love that casts out all fear. Let's look at a few themes that support this arc. Number one, God created the universe and our world as diverse. We just saw that, those beautiful eggs. Such beautiful diversity, hallelujah. When the builders of the Tower of Babel thought they could become God as a monolith culture, God punished them. God punished them by destroying the tower and dispersing everyone to all four corners of the earth. That's the story. The punishment, though, was in the destruction of the arrogant plan that violated the diversity of creation. The return to diversity was not punishment. It was a reminder to take our place in the universe and do the work of celebrating, or when required, reconciling across diversity. Our diverse cultures and languages and ways of knowing and being are good in the eyes of God. The dispersion in the story of Babel has become our opportunity to remember our place and do the hard and sacred work of building unity, not through destroying diversity, but through building deep understanding of the diverse ways of being and recognizing our deep relational connection to God and to each other through this diversity. Reckoning with this diversity has been our work in our human evolution since the beginning of time, and God gives us tools to do this work. Which brings me to the second principle, the invitation to covenant, a dynamic relationship with God, our creator, and with each other. This diversity is unified through covenant, or caring and loving relationship. God is a God of promise and covenant that begins with Noah and comes into focus through God's promise to Abraham. Work with me by obeying my voice, my laws, my eternal laws, my universal laws, and you shall be my people. My laws are rooted in deep hospitality. Welcome the stranger fearlessly. That's what Abraham did. With humility, they, the strangers, may be angels. Offer safety to all, regardless of tribe and history. Break these laws and you might bring destruction upon yourselves. Obeying God's twin commandments of loving God and loving neighbor allow for God's righteousness to live and grow in our hearts. Which brings us to the third principle. Share your heart of light generously and without judgment towards others. Tribal, cultural, historical differences are not a barrier to inclusion in God's heart of hospitality. The story of Jonah is a reminder of God's persistence with our stiff-necked ways when it comes to sharing the heart of God, a heart that loves everyone who turns to God. Jonah was such a reluctant witness to God's hospitality, wasn't he? Are we sometimes like arrogant Jonah when we have opportunity to share this hospitality without judgment? Jonah had written off the whole Ninevite community as unrighteous, but God's heart of hospitality won out. The Ninevites joined the family of tribes who turned back to God without having to change their names or their tribal identity. This is a story that challenges ethnocentrism. And reference to Jonah and this human sin of ethnocentrism returns in the words of Jesus. In Nazareth, Jesus had announced he came not for the Jews, but for all of humanity, and he got kicked out of town. And when Jesus references the sign of Jonah to the Pharisees in the context of having come for the Gentiles, they were threatened. It's not only the Pharisees who are threatened by inclusion of those we other. Without reflection and intentionality and humility, we are all susceptible to feeling threatened by people, society, and even our own religious tradition excludes as others. The fourth principle at play is perhaps the most liberating. The principle revolves around the tension between protecting our ways, our human traditions, and inviting the Holy Spirit to help us break out of those human traditions that separate us. Yes, it can be done. It's the story found in the scripture that we just heard. This story sets free the imagination of God's plan for unity in diversity. It's the story of Peter and Cornelius. The story of Cornelius and Peter comes as followers of Jesus are wrestling with what it all means to follow their Lord, Jesus and accept the salvation inherent in this message for all. Expressed in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, a message open to and inclusive for all, not just for some. And as we heard, Peter and Cornelius both have a vision or a dream that challenges their worldview, that unsettles them. Cornelius from the Roman tribe is being invited to go join a different tribe as himself. Come, come as you are. And Peter is being challenged to invite Gentiles into his home to mix the tribes. Both are surprised and delighted that God has removed this man-made cultural barrier or fear between them. Being unsettled is joyful in this story. This is the story that permanently breaks the idea that relationships with other tribes and cultures are fraught with danger. This is the story that invites us to eat each other's foods with abandon and joy, to enter each other's homes with full confidence of reciprocal hospitality, no matter the tribe or culture, to accept each other's names as good, as kin, to learn and sing each other's songs, to share and pray for each other's burdens and joys in our own ways. We come as we are, and we are changed in this transformation into kinship with all, if we sign on to God's heart of hospitality. And I sense in this blessed community of First Mennonite Calgary a beautiful courage to try new things, to do the work of being a new creation. We had a youthful worship band lead us today. And if I look out on the congregation, there's so much beautiful diversity. And yet there's always more around us that pulls us into being unsettled if we are open. So that's the question. Are we open to having our worldview rocked like Peter and Cornelius? What are our societal divides rooted in unjust histories and harmful doctrines that are calling us to such drastic shifts in worldviews? That's a whole other sermon, but I'll leave that question with you anyway. I believe that both Peter and Cornelius were filled with the Holy Spirit as they experienced and integrated their respective dreams into their identities. The Holy Spirit is what gives us the courage and understanding required to come as we are and to give up control of what we think our worldview should be, to be changed on the journey we are on together. The Holy Spirit is the antidote to getting stuck in our limiting and sometimes excluding ways, limiting the ability for us to come together as we are and to be changed by the experience of merging identities and ways of being. Inviting the Holy Spirit and giving up control to that, so that the Holy Spirit can work in our individual lives and in the midst of our community, might sound easy, but it demands constant prayer, reflection, and humble gratitude. The work of staying in tune. And I guess for the musicians in our midst, we can add listening. Can't stay in tune without listening. The passage we heard from Hebrews as our call to worship, I think, helps us with this work of staying in tune. I'll read it again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Is it not comforting and reassuring to realize that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses from all the diverse histories that intersect in this room? Our biblical witnesses, our ancestral witnesses, the gathered community as living witnesses. Let us share and listen to each other's stories with joy and reverence, throwing off the sin of judgment and difference. And in this scripture is the invitation to throw off that which hinders our journey, our race. We're not in competition, mind you. We're running together. God has marked out the path of our life's race. And the writer of the book of Hebrews reminds us that we are always what we're always running toward. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Only in doing this can we hold hands as we move together. Unity in the diversity of individuals coming together. Unity in the diversity of spoken language, musical language, praying language coming together. Unity in the diversity of ways of showing love to each other coming together. And on that one, I'll just share a recent little exchange I had with Brother Joe Chokpele, who's from Liberia at Holyrood. We were talking about hospitality, and he said, you know, in my culture, the way we show that we love each other is if somebody's ancestor or a relative dies, even if it's back in Liberia, we just all show up in their home, and that's how we show love. How do you show love in your culture? And I thought that was such a wonderful invitation for us to start unpacking that and exchanging that together. Our hymns this morning have given us an experience of this beautiful unity in diversity. Diversity of message, language, diversity of musical style. In Christ, there is no East or West, we sang, reminding us of the boundaryless universality of God's love in Jesus. In the hymn we're about to sing together, we will be reminded that we must surrender to the Holy Spirit in order to sing with family, neighbor, and those we other, our rivals. And we'll conclude with Siyahamba, a song from South Africa. We're marching in the light of God. It invites us to be on the good path together. Jehovah Jireh, I didn't know that song, so I looked it up. I must have found a different one. The one I found talked about fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's the final message that ties all of this together. And to all these beautiful messages that promise unity in our diversity, I say amen.